Well, hello, and welcome to the Hometown Church Podcast. This is a podcast aimed at keeping you informed, encouraged, and growing in your faith and relationship with God. My name is Jesse Roskamp. I'm the video production director here at Hometown, and I am joined today by my co-host, Pastor Deacon Ailes. How are you doing today, Deacon?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. It's a good day. I'm excited to get going with this, and we appreciate that you are joining us today, that you're listening in or watching, whichever way you're taking this in. You know, this is the very first episode of the Hometown Church Podcast, and so since it's the first one, we wanted to kind of kick things off by letting you know, get to know us a little bit better. And so to do that, we'll share testimonies, we'll share a little bit about what we do for the church and kind of what we're hoping to get out of this podcast and what we hope you'll get out of this podcast too. So kind of to kick things off, Jesse, do you want to share your testimony, you know, like how you came to faith, how long you've been a Christian, that kind of thing?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've always been a little like self-conscious about my testimony, because I feel like most people have like this amazing, crazy story where they were so far from God and then they came out of nowhere. Like God had this amazing moment where He just really revealed themselves to him. And for me, I grew up in the church, so I was always kind of around it, and it was never like a moment where it all kind of clicked into place. Sure. It was just always there. And then one day, it was just kind of walking around thinking, yeah, I think I actually believe this stuff. I think this is the truth about the reality of the world. Yeah. And so when I was 13, I got baptized over at the YMCA camp, at Camp Streiflin, right across from our Lakeville location. And ever since then, it's just been a steady journey of realizing my fallenness and walking closer and being transformed more and more by the gospel. So in high school, it was going to HSLT and having those amazing transformations at camp and growing closer to God and growing closer to my relationship with God. And when I was 16, I started doing, what's it called? PSEO. Where I stopped going to public school. I started going to Inverhills Community College. Yeah. And it was at that moment where I kind of stopped hanging out with a lot of my public school friends, started hanging out with more of my church friends. Sure. And that just started forming some real relationships there. And they stopped being my church friends and started just being my real friends and started becoming my brothers in Christ.
Yeah.
And so when I left for college, I went to Arizona State University, and I was pretty solid with what I believed. I didn't have much for getting in the Word on my own, praying on my own, but I knew what I believed and for the most part why I believed it. And so when I got into college, I started looking for churches to join, Bible studies to join, pretty much right away. It was actually one of the first churches I attended while I was down there. They had a little stand set up for college students to come and sign up and get to know people. So I signed up. There was a Bible study within walking distance at a house right next to our dorms where I was staying. Walked in there, and there's a whole group of people. Like, I'd never seen that many young adults just like gathering to talk about the Bible, and right away they said, we're going to start by everyone pick someone you don't know and go pray with them for like 5 minutes.
Terrifying.
Yeah, and I was like the most shy, awkward, still am, but even more so then, I was super shy and super awkward, and this guy, he was on the wrestling team, he ended up being, I think, he was like NCAA Wrestler of the Week one week. So, like, you know, intimidating guy. And I just see him across the room just stare at me and point at me. And he's like, you. I'm like, okay. So he pointed me out. We prayed together for a little bit. I ended up riding to church with him most weeks. And then got involved with another Bible study that was meeting at his house. And the guy who was leading that one ended up being someone really important in my life who picked me out. Asked if it was okay if he discipled me. And we started meeting together on a regular basis, and that's really when I started to grow and mature in my faith and start to learn a lot more and realize just how little I actually knew about what it is I said I believed. Sure. And so, yeah, over those 2 years, he kind of helped grow me, disciple me, and transform me into the person I am today. But that's a little bit of it, but there's always more to the story, but that's mostly how we got to where we are today.
Yeah, you know, that's actually one thing that I hear pretty often, especially with people who grew up in the church, is that they feel a little self-conscious or worried about sharing their testimony because it's not like I was heavily into drugs and,
yeah.
and Jesus, you know, shined this bright light. I was blind for a few years, whatever, you know. But as someone who did kind of have one of those light switch, kind of big difference testimonies, I've always been impressed again by what Jesus does, even in the heart of good parenting and a great church, you know, and it's still a miracle. It's still a miracle.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I think you're not alone. There's a lot of people who have a testimony kind of like that and can feel a little self-conscious about it. But
yeah, absolutely. How about you? What's your story?
Yeah, well, for me, so mine was kind of the bigger deal. And you know what I mean? You know what I mean by that. But to where I, you know, I was really lost, really selfish. I was super manipulative and kind of growing up, none of my family knew the Lord or anything. We didn't go to church. Actually, when I was 8, some Mormon missionaries came and reached out to my dad at a really low point in his life. I think what they did was they took apart a swing set in the backyard. You know, my dad's got a metal hip. He's not super able to do some of that stuff. And he was just at a really low point as he struggled with alcoholism in his past. And they just came in and they smashed that swing set apart and took it all down. And it was so impactful to him that he started going to the Mormon church. And so we started going too. I even got baptized as a Mormon when I was 8.
Wow.
And then once I realized I didn't have to go anymore, I stopped right away, you know? So fast forward to 17, I had these cool art kids. And I was in an AP studio art class, which is actually a thing. I don't know if it has a ton of value in real life, but I went through it, okay?
Yeah.
And so these people, these four people who I thought were super cool. I was kind of a fringe skateboard person. Well, they were reaching out to me and they were kind of showing me love and attention that I wasn't getting in quite the same way, even from my friends.
Yeah.
And one guy just invited me on a missions trip. He said, "Hey, my church is going to Brazil. We've been growing in our friendship, you know, a little bit. Do you want to come to Brazil with me?" And I was like, "Heck yes, I want to go to Brazil with you." The farthest I've been is like Cambridge. Mm-hmm. So Brazil sounds pretty awesome. And so this was in 2005. I went out to Sao Paulo, and most of what we were doing was working in the slums, the favelas there with children, right? So it was all like day camp, summer camp stuff. So a little bit of foreshadowing to what I'm doing now in the children's ministry. But through that, I just got to see what people were doing with the Lord. Now back up a little bit. There was this really low point in my life, and these people, these friends at school, they gave me a Bible in hopes that I would just, you know, through osmosis, like get saved or whatever. And I didn't pick it up. I didn't want to touch it. I hated reading, and I wasn't super sure on where I felt I was at with the Lord, what I thought of him. And there was this really low night to where I was really struggling with kind of who I was, would it really matter if I wasn't around, you know?
Yeah.
And so I kind of felt this crossroad of, well, hey, you can go that road, possibly end your life, or why don't you give me a try? Why don't you give that Bible a try? And I opened up to Psalm 139, you know, and there he's telling me again, like Kit talked about in his sermon, God's thoughts concerning me outnumber the grains of sand. God knows when I sit, when I stand, I can't go anywhere to flee from his presence. He made me carefully, you know, in my mother's womb. And that was a turning point to me. And it was because of that night that I said yes, even to go to Brazil. So there was this one night to where we're all like, there's a worship leader there, and he's singing in English, and then there's like another worship leader there, and he's singing in Portuguese, and there's just this moment to where everything kind of blended into one voice.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like this crossroad of, are you going to follow me? Like, are you going to give your life to me? Are you going to keep searching for significance and never finding it anywhere else.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I guess I'll follow you then. And so I talked to the leader. I got saved that night. It was March 19th. And we know that because it's tattooed on my arm.
Nice.
So then that set me on a course to trying to learn. I went to Cedar Valley for a little while to their youth group. Some of those friends kind of went their own ways, but I had this friend that I've known since I was 10, Casey Flynn. And he was like the good kid that never did anything wrong, or if he did, he apologized for it right away. And we couldn't corrupt him, even though we tried. And I ran into him at Normandale Community College. And the first thing I said was, Casey, I'm saved now. Like, I'm saved. Like, we can be friends again, right? Because we were really close from 10 up until, I mean, really high school, where he started hanging out with, where his Christian friends became his friends.
You know? Yeah.
And so it was at that moment that I kind of eventually got plugged back in. I got plugged into, for the first time, to Evergreen, you know, now hometown. And I mean, been growing steadily there. And then there was a guy that kind of through the same thing said, hey, can I mentor you? Can I give you some of my life?
Yeah.
You know, he saw, I don't know what he saw, but but he gave his life to me and I grew because of it. And that's kind of what brings me to where I am now.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the thing I hear between the two stories and pretty much every testimony I've ever heard is the importance of having believers around you and in your life and having people who can witness to you. And that just goes to show the importance of, one, getting yourself around people who are going to challenge you to grow, and two, sharing your testimony, sharing your faith with people around you, because it can happen that someone comes to God through osmosis, right, by just picking up a Bible.
Yeah, it worked.
But most of the time, it is because there's people who are around you sharing or giving you that Bible to do that, right?
Right. Yeah, so, that's exactly right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how and when did you kind of get involved with Hometown? When did you kind of become on staff, and what is your role? How did that role kind of develop as you come along?
Yeah. So again, a lot of it had to do with that rekindling friendship with Casey Flynn.
Yeah.
And it was probably, I want to say around 2008, maybe late 2007, 2008, where I started coming back around.
Yeah.
And it, you know, we had just, I think, got this building. Mm-hmm. And so we were getting together. I joined a young adult small group, and Casey was the leader of that small group, so I felt a little bit more comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have to be around people I didn't know like you did back at college, but so I'm thankful for that. But got involved there, and then Casey introduced me to Spencer Bernard, and he said, hey, this is the high harmonies guy to me, because I did sing harmonies. I didn't sing that high, I thought, but I ended up being the high harmonies guy. So I joined the worship team. And that was probably around 2010 or so. And so I did worship for a long time. And then that guy, Bill Barnd, Pastor Bill Barnd at the time, was saying, you know, I think maybe, possibly you could be a pastor someday. And I thought, well, that doesn't sound good at all. I don't want to do that. But eventually, God was kind of working in my heart and cast that vision on me. So I started leading eventually the young adults, and we did some house churches. We did those kinds of things. And eventually, it was February of 2015, I got raised up as a lay pastor, an unpaid pastor. And most of what I did was I oversaw the young adults at that time. That transitioned and changed, and we kind of handed over the keys to the young adults ministry, and then my role evolved into more taking care of the young families, which I'm doing today. Mm-hmm. And then there was a gap left in the children's ministry, and I said, "Well, I've got kids. I guess I could help out for a little while." And the original timeline was maybe just for these 6 months. We'll just have you do it for 6 months, and then we can find somebody else who can take it over, you know, with a more focused heart.
Yeah.
And so it's been years now that I've been doing it, and I love it. I love it so much. So I oversee the young families. I oversee the children's ministry. And then, of course, recently, back in November, I was hired on full-time to be a teaching pastor through, you know, a lot of the conditioning that I've had over the experiences that God's allowed in my life, but then also through the LDC, that was a big part of it too, in training.
And what's that for some people might not know?
That's right. So it is the Leadership Development Community. And I was specifically in the communication cohort. So the community in and of itself was where, 35 or so of us, some from New Hope, some from Lakeville, some from Bloomington. We all were kind of in this leadership community, and the goal was to grow together, to be better at what we do, because pretty soon there's going to be some transitions and these kinds of things, and we wanted to have the future of hometown secure and looking bright. And if you've seen the people in the LDC, it's looking bright. It's looking bright. But so grew that way, and that's really what I'm doing today. It's those three things primarily.
Yeah.
And I'm back on the worship team. Doing my best with Dan Dibbing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, he said I'm doing great, so that's good. That's about it for me. How about you?
Yeah, so I've been going to this church longer than I've been alive. my parents met at this church, so I was born and raised here, a true evergreener.
Yeah.
And then when I went off to college, that was kind of my first experience going to any other sort of church.
Sure.
Having to do a little bit of like, figure out what I want in a church and like trying to think through that things. Like, what do I think are biblical? And so I was only in school for about 2.5 years. So it wasn't like a very long period of my life. And I was getting done. I got a degree in film and media production.
Sure.
I wanted to be, you know, a filmmaker, be the next, Steven Spielberg or something like that. But then I quickly realized I did not want to go live the Hollywood lifestyle and move out to LA or anything like that.
Sure.
And I thought, you know, I do want to move back home and do that. So in December of 2019, I was graduating. And it just so happened at that time there were some changes going on in the church, some structure realignments going on. And one of the things that they were looking to add was a video person, someone to do some more video stuff. They didn't really have a whole lot that they wanted to do, but they knew they wanted to bring on a video person. And I was like, well, I need a good starter job to get some experience. So I talked with Rob, and he's like, yeah, let's do it. So I moved back home December of 2019, came on staff January of 2020. And it was just kind of like a part-time thing, just doing my thing, you know. We didn't really have any videos to work on. They were like, hey, we want to do some like Kingdom Builder stuff, but we have no idea what we want it to look like. We have no idea when we want to do it. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll start working on that.
Right.
Then 3 months into the job, this little thing happened, the pandemic, just a little snag in the road, and suddenly we are all online, 100%, and I'm here fresh out of college, not really know what I'm doing, having to figure out how to take a church that has pretty much no video production going on at all and completely transform it into something that is completely online, completely video dependent.
Yeah.
So it was very much getting thrown into the fire and figuring it out from there. And so as the years have kind of gone on, we've transitioned back into more of a normal, schedule and style of church where we have, people. But when we came back into in person, we made the change to go to video teachings.
Yeah.
So now that's a big part of my job is recording, the teaching pastors, including you today.
Yep.
Later this afternoon, we'll be recording your sermon, which goes out to two of the campuses. And then one of the campuses gets the rotating speaking, pastor. And so, yeah, I also do any sort of video that the church needs, our bumper videos that play before the sermons to kind of set up the series. We do a lot of Kingdom Builders videos now. We do testimony stuff. We do fun kids videos every once in a while. Anything related to that, I also help out with, like, picking out promotional graphics and stuff like that for the upcoming series. And now we're developing a podcast, and so anything media related, I'm usually in and around. I also help serve with the teens. I was also in the communication cohort with the LDC, so I do some teaching with the youth group on Wednesday nights every once in a while. I also lead the young adults group that we got going on here, which has been kicking off over the last year, which has been super exciting and growing, and we've been super encouraged there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say too, and I know we all could probably agree with this statement, but the videos that you've done, especially the testimonials and those kinds of things, have just had a huge, huge impact
Thank you.
On the church. I mean, just being able to see that stuff, even share that stuff,
yeah.
has been huge, has been huge. And I know that people are encouraged. The kid videos are hilarious every time. I love it. So really appreciate that you're here using your God-given talents for the church.
Yeah, it's been a huge blessing. It's been something that helped me grow my own skills. And it was also something very cool to see that it was like God-ordained and all on God's timing of me graduating, getting the church looking for a video person, and then very much needing a video person. all kind of in that, in very, to see it play out in real time and see how God's hand was over the whole thing was very, very cool.
Yeah. Awesome. So, you know, what I'd love to talk about now is kind of why are we doing this podcast? You know, what's your heart? What's your vision behind it? Jesse gets the credit for this. I'll say that it was your idea. Mm-hmm. And it's a good idea, I think. But I'd love to hear more about kind of your heart, your vision behind it.
Yeah. So I think there's three main driving forces behind why we're doing this podcast. And we've talked about it a little bit, but it's the three main ideas are one, for church engagement. We want churches more than just Sunday mornings. I think like a lot of people in the church know that, and we have small groups and stuff like that, but we want more avenues for people to go rather than just Sunday mornings and maybe a small group.
Right.
You know, we want more things for people to do, to be in and a part of the church. The second thing was unity. You know, a big movement that we've had over the last few years is trying to unite our three campuses, and that's partially through our teachings. Now that everyone is getting the same teaching on the same week, and now we have another thing for everyone to share and be a part of and listen into and talk about it through the podcast. Yeah. And the last thing is spiritual growth. We really wanted something that we could have a space where we can dive in a little bit deeper, go into some topics that maybe we wouldn't have time for on a Sunday morning, or maybe go a little bit more in depth on than we could at a small group or something like that, and just have some bigger conversations and go into areas that we might not have other opportunities to do.
Yeah, I think, and that makes a lot of sense. I know I speak for myself. I know I definitely speak for Brent when I say that. There's usually a lot of things that we would like to share. We'd like to go down this avenue or that avenue in a teaching, but we just don't have the time. We don't have the time, or you know, we're trying to be pretty focused on this one particular thing, and we just don't get the avenue to share those things. So I think, yeah, this could be a great opportunity to dive deeper, you know, and hopefully when we get Brent on, if he'll deign to meet with us, of course. but yeah. So what kind of things do you think that we can expect? Like what kind of stuff will we talk about, do you think?
Yeah. So I think a lot of that it's very much flexible. As we go forward, we've kind of thrown out a few ideas. It could look different on a weekly basis. Some weeks it might be bringing on a guest and having them share their testimony, or what ministry they're serving in and how that ministry has been growing and building the kingdom of God for encouragement. It could be having like a Bible study week where we just dive into a passage and we just start talking about it and breaking it down and really going in depth and seeing how that works. It might be looking at a topic and talking about how do we live as Christians in a modern secular world? How do we engage people? How do we talk to people? You know, so it can go in a bunch of different directions, and I'm really excited about that. And part of that, it's going to be really dependent on what the listeners want, right? What do you guys want us to talk about?
That's a good point. Yeah, I think that, you know, I've since this idea was born, I've had no shortage of people come to me with ideas, you know, hey, we could talk to leaders of, you know, other neighboring nearby churches, you know, and kind of to spotlight on the local church kind of from a citywide sense or lots of different things. I mean, the whole gamut, you know, of course, Brent and Spencer, they have their own ideas of some things that we could talk about, you know, Christian worldview stuff, like you mentioned, and lots of things. So I'm really excited about
it. Yeah, I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah, sweet. Same.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, of course, this podcast is only going to go as far as you all, the listeners, will take it. So if you have any input, questions, topics that you'd be interested in hearing about, or guests that you'd like us to have on, you can let us know by contacting us at, you can just reach out to me, J Roskamp, Roskamp, at hometownchurch.com. I figure that's probably the easiest and most direct way to get a hold of us. But for now, that's all we got for you. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
See you later.